Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke as we continue on in Luke. This is chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I know of ministers who discovered God calling them to ministry for as long as they can remember. My dad knew he would be a pastor since elementary school. A friend of mine practiced serving communion to her stuffed animals when she was a child. There are no examples of this in my childhood. No one thought, "This is where I'd end up," including myself, the reluctant pastor who went to seminary making deals with God all along the way. With one exception that recently surfaced, of which I have no memory, but the family sure does. We were gathered for dinner at a restaurant where my grandparents, uncles, parents were gathered. And my family is fairly Jesus-y, so if we were with my grandparents, even in a restaurant, we would all join hands, and someone would pray aloud. For as long as I can remember, that's always been my grandpa. But I guess one time, when I was about 3, they thought, "We'll let Jessica pray." They probably thought it would be some short prayer, a 3-year-old's 4-line rhyme or something like that. But evidently I was in the mood for giving thanks. So I gave thanks for every possible thing of which I could think. Each person at the table, all our houses, clothes, toys, the waitress, what we were eating, each one of my friends, and who knows what else was on the list. At least 5 minutes of 3-year-old thanks later, we finally got to eat. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. Eternal God, holy and mighty, it is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise. This is how we begin communion. The Westminster Catechism calls our chief and highest end to glorify God and enjoy God forever. We are a people of thanksgiving. A few years back, A.J. Jacobs documented his attempt to follow all the laws of the Bible in a book called The Year of Living Biblically. In preparation, he read the entire Bible, 5 hours a day, for several weeks, and surrounded himself with spiritual directors, including rabbis and ministers. One of my favorite examples of how this self-described Jewish agnostic experienced faith in the simple act of following Scripture is in his documenting of giving thanks before a meal. He writes, "Today, before taking my lunch of hummus and pita bread, I stand up from my seat at the kitchen table. I close my eyes and I say in a hushed tone, I'd like to thank God for the land he provided so that this food might be grown. Technically, that's enough, Jacobs continues. That fulfills the Bible's commandment. But while in Thanksgiving mode, I decide to spread the gratitude around. I'd like to thank the farmer who grew the chickpeas for this hummus, and the workers who picked the chickpeas, and the truckers who drove them to the store, and the old Italian lady who sold the hummus to me at Zagode's Deli and told me lots of love. Thank you. Now that I type it, writes Jacobs, it sounds like an overly earnest Oscar speech for best supporting Middle Eastern spread. But saying it feels good. Here's the thing, I'm still having trouble conceptualizing an infinite being, so I'm working on the questionable theory that a large quantity is at least closer to infinity. Hence the overabundance of thank yous. Sometimes I get on a roll thanking people for a couple of minutes straight. The people who designed the packaging, the guys who loaded the cartons on the conveyor belt. The prayers are helpful. They remind me that the food didn't spontaneously generate in my fridge. They make me feel more connected, more grateful, more grounded, more aware of my place in this complicated hummus cycle. They remind me to taste the hummus instead of shoveling it into my maw like it's a nutrition pill. And they remind me that I'm lucky to have food at all. Basically, they help me get out of my self-obsessed cranium. Getting us out of our self-obsessed craniums. Thanksgiving moves us beyond our self-obsessed selves. Why did you come to worship today? To move beyond your self-obsessed self? Obligation? To sing in the choir, if the preacher doesn't forget you're to sing? Maybe you're out here in gratitude, or maybe like lepers on the edge of the action, you are looking for wholeness. Calling out to Jesus for mercy, not quite feeling a part of everything, but wanting faith to help you feel whole again. Being on the edge is a common feeling in Scripture. Even in today's gospel lesson, the geography is periphery, the outside of Galilee, not quite Samaria. And then the lepers, they're always stuck on the edges. They're always on the periphery. Not only because their disease causes disfigurement and embarrassment, but because the law itself has stamped on them a big red U for unclean. They were potentially contagious. They had open wounds that would spread more uncleanliness, and they were rarely ever cured. So they keep their distance, but they still call to Jesus, crying out for mercy. In return, Jesus tells them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And then as they go, they are made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. All 10 lepers of the passage in Luke give us an example of what it means to have faith. They all see in Jesus the hope of mercy, of healing, of wholeness. They all call out in faith. They all head towards the synagogue when Jesus tells them to go see the priests. But upon being made clean, one man gives us something beyond simply calling out to Jesus and hoping for healing. And to only one man in the passage, does Jesus say, "Your faith has made you well"? All 10 lepers are healed. So how is it that only this one man hears these words of Jesus? This one returning leper, a Samaritan, one double rejected because of nationality and disease, gives thanks and recognition for God's mercy. This gratitude, this acknowledgement of Jesus, takes him away from his planned route and provides a connection, a relationship with the living God in Jesus. This man, with his gratitude and praise, most certainly moves him well beyond any thought of his self-obsessed cranium. Gratitude does that. It moves us away from our own plan. Eat dinner while the food is hot? Maybe not if you let a 3-year-old pray. Go right to the priest if you are healed? Maybe not. That was the plan, after all. Go directly to the priests. He was on the way to experience the final part of being healed from leprosy, being officially declared clean by the priest. But he turns back. "Where are you going?" asks another healed leper. "We're supposed to go to the priest." But the Samaritan can't hear him because he's already halfway back to Jesus. He drops his plan to be declared healed and hurries back to the one who healed him in the first place. And he doesn't just hurry back quietly. He immediately starts praising God with a loud voice. Already the thanksgiving comes. It's a running doxology all the way back to Jesus. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. And this Samaritan, this foreigner, has made the connection that the power that came from Jesus to heal him must be linked to the God of Israel, to whom he is lifting his praise. And he flings himself down at Jesus' feet and thanks him as well. No flippant thanks a bunch, no short thank you note, but a full-bodied outpouring of gratitude. This expression of gratitude gives him the greatest gift of all, better than his healing, better than being able to return home to his family, better than any material wealth, a personal encounter with God through Jesus Christ. Not from a distance, but up front and center with all his focus on Jesus and thanksgiving pouring from his lips. 9 lepers missed it. 9 lepers kept right on going to the priest. They were probably expressing gratitude, announcing thanks be to God, telling everyone how blessed they were, but missing out on thanking Jesus himself. And notice Jesus' response. "Were not 10 made clean, but the other 9? Where are they?" he asks, maybe with a twinkle in his eye, knowing precisely where they are. And he reaches down to the 10th. "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." It's almost as if the healing isn't in the clean skin and the newly revived limbs, but in the thanksgiving itself. In the act of returning thanks to Jesus, the 10th is declared saved. Thanksgiving is like that. We are called in 1 Thessalonians to give thanks in every circumstance. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Tom and I have a sign that reminds us of this: in everything, give thanks. And there are times in our lives when we have loathed that sign. For what in this can we give thanks? And then the thanks rises like a phoenix out of the ashes. Even in the most painful of circumstances or the most anxious of times, there are things for which we can give thanks. And when we do give thanks, it really does move us out of our self-obsessed craniums. It's the closest thing to experiencing an instantaneous reordering of life. Thanksgiving can turn muddy, mucked-up waters of self-pity into flowing rivers of peace that passes understanding. Jesus says to the one leper who returns to give thanks at his feet, "Get up, go on your way. Your faith has made you well." His body is already healed on his way to the priest. His gratitude and his recognition of Jesus' connection to God is what makes him whole. It's what saves his life. Thomas Schumann is an intentional interim pastor in the PCUSA, and he writes poems and reflections and blog entries on the lectionary passages. In 2007, Thomas wrote, 9 out of 10. 9 out of 10 hours, I am hard at work, chained to my computer, addicted to meetings, drowning in expectations. And then you show up, interrupting my stress, saying, "They need us down at the soup kitchen. Let's go." 9 out of 10 minutes, I am thinking about worries, fears, burdens, and then you grab my hand, pull me down to my knees beside you, saying, "Let's pray for the lost, the last, the least, the little." 9 out of 10 times I am patting myself on the back for all I do for you, racking up points on salvation's scoreboard. And then you hand me a bouquet of grace, whispering, "Have you stopped and smelled these lately?" Pompous, swollen-headed, full of myself, I am like 9 out of 10 people. Let this be the one time, and the next time, and the next time, that I turn to you and say, "Thank you." May we move this time, and the next time, and the next time, out of our self-obsessed craniums and turn to God with our thanks, regardless of plans, expressing our gratitude in the relationship we have with the living God who grants us mercy and grace in abundance. Amen.